Are we rolling? Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Hello, Pathway family. I hope you know that it's Harold, because from what I see looking in the camera here, it looks more like a mad scientist with this crazy hair, but I'm at Hotel Inc. I'm getting ready to go home. It is Tuesday afternoon. I'm so happy I got to see everybody that I got to see Monday night, and the people we got to see on the Zoom call Sunday night. I hope everybody's doing well. I miss everyone. I didn't realize, I don't think, how much I miss people until I saw him last night, so for those of you I didn't see, I really miss you. Anyway, we're helping people find housing and keep their lights turned on and fun things like that. And I love everybody, miss everybody.
Are you ready, Mr. Lewis?
I'm ready, I reckon.
All right. This one goes out to all the people there in Radioland.
Strength will rise. We wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We'll wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord our God. You reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not think you won't rule the enemy. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord our God. You reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the
Hey, Pathway family, this is Alex. I hope everybody's doing good, staying healthy, being proactive in any way you can, just as we're trying to make sense of what the new normal, quote unquote, is going to be, which, if anything, is going to be positive. We're definitely stronger, we're more close, and we're definitely more loved, more beyond measure. Just continuing to pray for everybody, continuing to just make sense of everything that's going on, but also being a shining light to those who need it the most. So I love you guys. I miss y'all. We'll be together soon. Peace.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see people walking by them in the windows, yeah. You know. Stick their little heads up.
I feel like I haven't seen anybody, really.
Yeah.
All right. We were just watching people go by in the window here. We don't get to see that as much these days. Hi, I'm Lewis. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I am in recovery for racial and physical abuse when I was a kid, and I am struggling with anger and anxiety and trust a lot these days. Welcome to back to Virtual Pathway. It's good to be with you again. Tonight we're going to have a dialogue. We're just going to kind of have a conversation. And really, we know where we're going to start, kind of, but we don't know where we'll end up.
Do we know where we're
Well, I hope you do. I mean...
Oh, shoot. Okay,
yeah. I think with what's been going on in the last 2 weeks in particular, I think we need to settle in there and have some conversation around that. And I think it's going to... continue. I mean, we're not just going to have one discussion tonight and be done. This discussion is not going discussion in my head, at my house, and in a lot of places that I am. And so,
yeah.
And that's just me. But it's an important conversation to have, and I think it's one that, as a family, especially as a diverse family, as Pathway is. It's a conversation that that we need to be open to. And I think we start that tonight, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm Wendell. I'm living loved by Jesus, which is taking on new hues and new feels and new smells and new looks these days as we're going through this crazy time. But anyway, I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to work and food and control, all of which have become my default medication during this time. Interesting to see that happen. I've had issues with pornography, with alcohol, with rage, with panic attacks, and with depression.
I win.
Hey, in case you all didn't figure it out, we're sitting in the cup.
We are.
We're literally sitting where the band would be. We're looking out the back windows, which you all know very well. So I hope you get that feel and that flavor. Just a little bit of an update. We have a brand new set of digital drums over here that we will be able to use when we get back together. And we'll be up on the stage making music, hopefully before too long, we'll see. So anyway, I wrote a blog. I've been writing a weekly blog. Most of y'all know that. I wrote a blog Monday. And the title of the blog was I'm a Racist. And I'm not a white supremacist. I'm not a hater of anybody of a different race or a different political persuasion or a different denomination or anything. It has nothing to do with hate in my definition of racism. Rather, it's more based out of ignorance than a like or dislike. It's just ignorance. I don't understand. No, I haven't taken the time to really get the information to form any kind of understanding of a lot of people who aren't like me. I don't know much about Muslims. I don't know much about Buddhists. I don't know much about Asian culture in general, which, look at there, I stereotyped Koreans, Vietnamese, Chinese, Japanese, all in one. Silly me, can't do that. You can't say I don't know much about Africans because you've got all different South Americans, you've got all different Central Americans, you got all different. So when I say I'm a racist, it's not because I hate anybody or even dislike or find distasteful anybody. It's because I really don't understand. Because I don't operate in their circles. I don't go to their churches. I don't shop at their stores. I don't travel in their countries. And I feel like there must be some sort of, there must be something we can do to correct ignorance. I mean, you go to school to learn things. And I don't know that you could take a class to correct this kind of not knowing. And so, kind of one of the conclusions I came to in my article was, we need to start having conversations. Republicans, I'm just going to start here. Republicans assume that all Democrats are pro-abortion. I'm a Democrat and I'm not pro-abortion. Democrats believe that all Republicans are hard-hearted and don't care about poor people. I know a lot of Republicans who are passionate about the less than. So to make assumptions about political persuasions, denominations, skin tone, where you live, economic status, it's all done out of ignorance because we don't know. We've got to start talking. How do we do that?
That seems to be the $64,000 question right now. Nobody really knows where to start. We know that, you know, there's something that we need to fix. We know that there's something that we need to, that we need to right the ship.
Yeah.
But I think some of us are afraid that if we go too far in righting the ship, we're going to lose our piece of the ship.
Yeah.
When my individual piece of the ship.
Or my tribe's piece.
Or my tribe's piece of the ship.
Yeah.
You know, that if we go too far in those that think that all police are bad, that's not true. Those who think that all policemen are good, that's not true. But I think that both sides feel like if they come to the middle of that, yes, there's some cops that are bad. Yes, there are some cops who are some absolutely great people. If they come to the middle of that, they're giving up on their end. They're giving up on their side.
What is it that makes us want to cling to these things so hard?
I'm not sure that.
Does it make us feel right? Does it make us feel superior?
See, I don't know. I mean, I can speak to when I used to be a whole lot angrier than I am now. And part of the reason that I was angry was that I wanted to prove the people who abused me, prove the people that treated me less than, that they were not just wrong, they were evil. And I could not see past that. I couldn't see past the fact that they had children, they had families. I couldn't see past that. All I could see was that one little specific piece of who they are that to me was wrong. I think that kind of goes back to what you were saying about not all Democrats are pro-abortion, not all Republicans are against the less than or the poor folks, or don't want to deal with the poor folks.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Think that, you know, poor folks are poor because they choose that.
Yeah.
Not all Republicans feel that way. Not all Democrats feel that way.
No.
And I think we get caught up in, they don't think like me. And I'm this.
Yeah.
And I'm a good this.
Yeah.
I'm a, you know, same can go for even divisions within Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, we see that all the time.
Huge.
You know, and you know, they're all going to hell because they don't believe the same thing that I do. And I don't know where that came from. I don't know what originated that.
I can't
wrap my head around that.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
I wonder, you know, we need to talk to each other, but maybe we need to talk to ourselves too. Maybe we need to look in the mirror and have a good conversation with ourselves and ask ourselves, we buy into a tribe, whether it's a political tribe, a religious tribe, a cultural tribe, a color tribe, you know, racial tribe, whatever. We buy into that tribe, and so it makes us feel like we belong. It makes us feel like we're important. We're part of something bigger than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm significant that way. And so it's like if my tribe says such and such or so, or somebody who is respected in my tribe says something, I better get in lockstep with that, or they may kick me out of this tribe. So, or my significant caregivers in my early years told me this, and so it would be very disrespectful or dishonoring for me to change my mind from what they told me. I have to assume everything they told me was right, was correct. Logically right and ethically right, you know?
Yeah.
It seems to me like there has to come a point where I look myself in the mirror and say, why do I feel like I have to cling to these things so tightly? Is it just in respect for people who came before me, or is it just so I could stay in the tribe, or so is it just so I could feel good about myself? Because to me, those aren't really good reasons. Because my forefathers used to believe the planet was flat. Am I dishonoring them by saying, no, I believe it's round? You know, some of my forefathers used to think it was wrong to drive a car or play a piano in church. That was ethically wrong. Am I dishonoring them by saying, no, I don't think that's... At some point, you have to... And am I so insecure in who I am that I'll sell my soul to belong in the tribe? I'll do anything to stay in the tribe. I can't. You know?
That's the thing that gets... That's where it gets... Where the self-reflection and having that hard conversation with ourselves, why it's why it's important, but it's also why it's incredibly difficult.
Yes. For scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Scary.
Terrifying. You can't. I don't want to look inside who I've become.
Right.
Because I'm afraid of what I'll find.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of us are like that.
Yeah.
And I've seen folks who have had that conversation with themselves and couldn't deal with the answers they got.
Right.
But I've also seen people who have had that conversation with themselves and it has been such a freeing moment for them.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
They are completely transformed by that, having
that
conversation.
And that's part of the magic of Pathway. That after you process some of this stuff solo, then you can come into a group or find your recovery partner and say, okay, so these are some of the things I've been thinking about and discovering about myself. I need to say them out loud, and I need you to help me reflect and think through some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you and I are recovery partners. We've talked through so much of our own personal shit.
Absolutely.
Stuff, you know, and I can't make you unlove me. And you can't make me unlove you. And that's so affirming to think, okay, it's okay to get uber honest about myself in knowing that I have people that will support the real version of me.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I think that's the beauty of what we have in Pathway.
Yeah.
And what we have collectively.
Yes.
You know, we've got it individually with our recovery partners.
Yeah.
But then we also have it as a collective, as a group, as a family of people.
Yes.
We have that on a larger scale.
Yeah.
Which I think, at least it has been for me, you get the who am I as an individual, but also you get the opportunity to kind of deal with who I am as part of a group, whatever group that is.
You
have that to compare to.
Right. And why is this group important to me? And why might I want to break from a few of their beliefs and still remain part of the group and feel good about myself? And, you know, here's another thing I'm thinking. I'm watching the clock up there on the wall. I don't want to go too long. But I'm thinking that we need to have a conversation with ourselves. But I think we need to have anybody we're confused about, we need to have a listening conversation, not a persuasive one. I'm going to convince you that you're wrong or that you need to think otherwise. No. But to say, I want to know why, not as an investigator or an interrogator, but as a curious person who cares about you, just curious, I want to know why you think what you think and why you feel what you feel. I think we would be surprised at what we'd find out about people who we don't understand. The racist, why is he that way or she that way?
Mm-hmm.
We want to slap him upside the head. You know, we want to throw him in jail. But maybe a good thing would be to take him out for some fried chicken and just say, or a cup of coffee or something, and say, tell me your story, where'd you come from? Tell me your experience, your early experience. Who knows what we might learn? You know, people who are homophobic, people who are black people who are afraid of white people, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, you just start naming them off. If you're confused about them and their stance and their feelings or whatever, just in a very casual, non-confrontive way, say, can we just share our stories?
And that comes out of relationship. You can't walk up to a stranger on the street
and say that.
And so we're not ever going to get an opportunity to have that conversation if we're not in relationship with people who think differently than we do.
Right.
You know,
which is going to be inconvenient and feel insecure at first.
Oh, but at a minimum.
Yeah. But that's the way I felt when I volunteered down at Hotel for about a year. When I first went down there, I thought, these people scared me to death.
Mm.
And the reason they did was because I didn't understand them. And I shouldn't even say these people, but the general clientele, I don't even know how to use the term. I don't even like the word homelessness. There's probably better words, but listening to their stories, getting to know them, I thought, those aren't those people anymore. They're my friends. They're, you know. And I think we need to do that with a lot of different groups of people who we just don't get.
Yeah.
We don't understand, so I want to understand you. Not because I want to write an essay on you.
Yeah.
But because I want to respect and honor you for who you are, and I see you're different from me, so tell me who you are and how you got that way. But you have to build a relationship first.
Yeah.
You can't just jump into that.
Yeah, you can't jump in and say, man, tell me your story. What's your name again?
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that. And you can't, it's not.
Yeah.
It's, again, the beauty of what we have at Pathway.
Yeah, you can take your time there.
You can take your time.
Yeah.
You can build a relationship with someone. You can spend a month just seeing them across the room on the other side of this very room.
Yeah.
You see them sitting on the other side over there, and then one Sunday you see them sitting by themselves out in the atrium grabbing something to eat, and he's like, "Hey, can I sit next to you?"
Yeah.
And you make introductions, and then you know it may take 6 months or more to get up the guts to...
It's worth it, though.
It absolutely is.
It's worth it.
Absolutely worth it.
Yeah.
We
ain't got nobody with a gun to our head saying we got to hurry up.
No. You know, the beauty of it, to me, I love hearing the stories. There's the stories are more than just stories. They're people. And that part of it is, to me, where the magic of Pathway is.
Yes.
It's in the stories of the people.
Yeah.
And if we don't take the time to hear those stories, to seek out those stories,
yeah,
no matter what they look like, or who they voted for in the last election,
right.
or where they live, or where they came from,
yeah,
or what kind of accent they have, or what, you know, what language they speak. If we let any of that get in between us and that story, then we're missing out on a huge blessing.
Yeah. And you know, that's all we do at Pathway. You get into your small groups on Thursday night or whatever night you're coming. You tell your story.
Yeah.
And we have stories told here routinely on Sunday night. So if anybody ought to kind of have a jump start on this story deal, it ought to be us.
Yeah.
And maybe we have the opportunity to dig further and then pull the rest of our community along with us and say, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
So I think we've probably run out of time. This has been good.
I don't think this will be the only time we have this conversation.
No.
I hope not.
No. We can have this again. And I think it would be good in the future to include several other people in, look like up on this stage and have us just really, because, okay, so I've been having, here we're going to get into more time. This will just kind of whet our appetite. We have to have another discussion about sexism.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not a racial thing, it's a gender thing as well. Boy, that's a big conversation.
Oh, it's a huge one.
It's an enormous conversation.
Yeah, and it's one of those conversations that, where we have these divides, that when we have these divides, we miss out on so much.
Yeah.
And that's just one of a dozen conversations.
Yeah.
Sexism, racism.
Yeah.
Humanism. I mean.
Yeah. And to make these conversations work, we need somebody besides an Italian and a Dutchman. Two old white guys up here.
Two old white dudes.
Yeah. We need some people of varying genders and colors and persuasions and to hear their stories and their voices. Well, thank you for being with us,
yeah,
Pathway family. We'll probably start doing this format more than the other Zooming thing, because this is just so much more real. And you'll kind of discover, but right before we recorded this, we also recorded like 5 or 6 songs. So much more fun than the MP3, karaoke, whatever thing we were doing there. It just so much more energy and fun. And Lewis and I were able to sing and play songs that we've been doing for 15 years together. Just too much fun. So we'll start showing those one a week anyway. Yeah. So let's join together and do the Serenity Prayer. And that's why I have this book here, because I had it in the first of the book. I've said the prayer 1,000 times at least, but I don't trust myself to say it without reading it. So by the time you do this, maybe Lewis will have the words under, but maybe he won't. Maybe he
will.
Okay.
One way or another.
All right. So let's say the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this simple world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.
Keep coming back. God loves you.
Yeah.
And we love you too.
Yes.
So, all right, friends, neighbors, we'll see you guys later. Thanks for being with us.
So long, dudes and dudettes.
Dudes.